Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Touchdown! I don't believe it!
You're listening to the Best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Get a lot of positivity on the comments, Tone. I'm going to get to the phones here in a second. 216-474-0092. What are you expecting on Sunday? I'm nervous. I've been nervous all week. Told you guys that. I don't know how well it's going to go. I heard the coaches talking, heard Joel Bitonio talking. It makes me worried, but I'm telling you right now, the reason I'm so desperate is this. Like, if this was 16-17, and a lot of people are jumping in and they weren't here in 16-17. The reason 16-17 here is because it's different. It's because I got veterans here. And I know we had Joe at the time, and we love Joe, but we got a lot of veterans here. There's a lot of expensive players here on this football team. And if one of these guys hit, if a quarterback hits, if an offense can hit, it would help so much because this is an AFC championship level defense that you have right now. This is a contending defense. We have to understand this. And my issue is, and we'll play some audio coming up at 7, why I'm so damn desperate. But I'll give you a precursor to it now, and I'll get to the phones here in a second, Tone, is because you can get excited about the rookies, but now I'm in moving target land. Like, is the rookies going to match up with Miles? Remember the conversation we had? Are the rookies going to match up with Denzel? Are the rookies going to match up with Wyatt? Are they going to match, like, that type of thing? I got good players. I got expensive, good players. I know there's good players on this team. There might not be enough. And if one of these guys, these quarterbacks, can play at a high level, it changes the perception on everything. And then, my God, if Shador hits, I can use, and I don't know, guys, I don't know if 7 games is going to be enough. I'll admit that. But if he looks great through 7 games, let's let our imaginations run wild. If he looks great through 7 games, what can you do with 2 first-round picks next year? I mean, what can you do? Think about that.
Yeah, really able to stockpile talent in young cheap talent.
Nick Kovach asked me, and I want to say it was Carnell Tate. It might not have been Carnell Tate. He goes, what if I could get you Caden Proctor and Carnell Tate next year? I go, sign me up. And I know some people think Caden Proctor is a little underrated, but or overrated, but I think he's a hell of an athlete, obviously, and I think he's great. I don't care that he went to Iowa and came back. But either way, that's a conversation we can have measured throughout the months of January through April. We can have all the measured conversations we want. This is my, I feel personally, this is really my last chance to get really excited before a football game. And so I'm excited. I am as nervous, and you can tell it in my voice, I'm as nervous as all get out. But I'm very excited. I'm very excited. And I want to see them rip the lid off this thing. And I want Jerry Jeudy to not have his time wasted. I want David Njoku to be open and Harold Fannin Jr. to be open and him to hit all these guys and let champagne fall from the ceiling. But, you know, I know what I saw back on Sunday when he was thrust into that. I know that he's only got 3 days of practice. I know what happened before where they really didn't get him ready for much of this when we all should have known. And I know that they belabored it throughout the week when it came to Jason talking about, well, they planned on redshirting him. I don't want to make the same mistake we made with Spurgeon Wynn years ago where it's like, hey, you're not going to play this year, and then all of a sudden you got to play. Like, any guy who wears a Browns jersey at any time should be thinking that he's going to have to play. I mean, we've been through 42 of them now. Any of them should know. So that's what makes me go, And if they win against my better judgment, guys, I'm going to be excited on Monday morning. 6:01 Monday morning. Again, I'm not taking a shot at Baskin and Phelps. I just know that they are much more measured than I am. If you guys want something logical, like we have 4 more hours after that to be logical, fine. If you want something logical, go listen to 10:01. Go listen to 10:01. I'm inviting you. But if he's good and they win, 6:01 here, you are going to hear Michael Stanley. You are going to hear me. You're going to hear... I want to bring you along with me. I don't know. Maybe you'll talk me off the ledge.
I'm going to lose my voice. If the guy plays well, why would I talk? What ledge would there be? That I'd be jumping on the ledge with you if the guy completely balls out. Because this is why it's going to be really interesting to see if, and I know, no, I'm not going to kill him if he has a bad game. It's his first full start, right? And now a defense has some tape to look at. Not much, but a defense, believe me, they're expecting to go after him with reckless abandon.
Yeah, like pros.
They're expecting to make him look bad and to exploit the bad habits. Like, this is their opportunity to get right after they got humiliated on Monday Night Football against Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. What I'm excited about is to see if some of the stuff that Shador fans have been telling us, have been telling, you know, me specifically when they've gone after me. Like, what are these amazing traits that he had in college? What actually does translate to the NFL? Because for years I've been hearing about college quarterbacks and the stuff they do well in college. This is going to translate. And it, you know, with the Browns, it just almost never does. You know, God,
exactly.
With the Johnny fans. And I mean, we remember like the, no, you don't understand, Anthony. He just has it. He just has it. It's going to show up. You're going to see it. You're going to become a believer. And then it never does. So will this be the time that stuff, the special stuff that he did in Boulder, will that start to show up? I'm not asking for it all to show up this week, but could you see moments? Could you see flashes?
I think we saw a couple of moments. Even I heard the Albert Breer, and I thought this is where I thought Albert Breer was a little too ticky tack, and this is why I think that Albert, and if you go back and listen to that interview, 92.3thefan.com, when he was on with Afternoon Drive, and we don't need to go find the clip. It's good because I'm going to send you on a needle in a haystack chase here. When he was kind of going after the Gage Larvidan throw, I'm like, that's a dot. Come on. Give him. We can't just not let anybody up for air. You can't sit there and drown us the whole way here. That was a dot. It was a good play by Awuzie. That was a good pass. He got out of the way of trouble. He threw to a guy he recognized. Guys make plays that happen. It was right to his chest. And when I heard Albert say it, I'm not even attacking Albert. I think Albert's a look into what the rest of the NFL feels about him, because so many insiders, there are so many coaches and scouts and agents and everything who speak through insiders. And so I think that you heard what a lot of the league thinks of it. Go back and listen to that interview and you hear how just dismissive he is of that throw to Gage Larvidan. And I'm like, that's why people get excited for him. Yeah, that's why Jonathan got excited for him. That's a hell of a throw. And I don't know if he's going to be able to do that for an entire game. Like somebody just, Nate just asked, like, how's he going to be good with this wide receiver core? Yeah, guys, there's a lot of logic to this that's going to tell you that this is going to be a rough Sunday. That's why I'm going to be so excited, because it will defy my logic. It will defy logic. Go back and listen to me on Monday or on Wednesday and now here. It will defy what I really think is going to happen. Like, you hear Tommy Rees yesterday, and here's Tommy about this and trying to make a quarterback. Go to Tommy Rees here, what he wants to do to make a quarterback comfortable. Go ahead and hit it.
You want to make your quarterback comfortable. You want to call plays. You want to put in plays that breathe confidence into them as they hear them, as they call them, plays that they know they can make work. And then you press the guys around them to raise their level of play and play well to continue to breathe confidence into young players and into young quarterbacks. So that's really been the motivation this week moving forward.
And then here he is about limiting expectations when it comes to his debut.
Expectations, you know, I would say we try to limit those. It's more about, hey, we're going to pour, you know, this whole week into making sure that you feel comfortable and confident. And, you know, our goal and our job is to make sure that he gets that feel and gets ready to go on Sunday.
See, when I hear that, I think they'd do that if Shador was the number one overall pick. I think they'd do that. I think he'd feel that way. He was a former quarterback. He knows. You try to calm down the noise around you, not get swallowed up by everything. I understand that. But when you start behind the eight ball, and Shador is starting well behind the eight ball here, I think that you need to understand just how much is stacked against him. And so if you're able to overcome that, and there are going to be other hurdles, like San Francisco next Sunday, it's going to be another hurdle. There will be other hurdles. But if you clear this one, I'm going to say, okay, now we can go back to this performance and build on this performance. There's going to be times where they get to you, but we can build on this performance. So I'm going to be over the moon excited. 216-474-0092. I feel excited. I also feel nervous. But I'm not the football coach of the Cleveland Browns. I'm a fan. And I have zero power over this whole thing. That's why I'm thinking this is probably the last chance and the best chance I get to be really excited about this season coming up on Sunday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Right before we went to break, we started to discuss what I want to talk about now. And it's pretty simple.
It is?
Well, it's a simple question with so many different answers on this, Andy, that's where this gets convoluted. Who do you want to see at quarterback next year? Who do you want to see? And I hate to look ahead, but you're 2-8. Let's be realistic. You're not thinking playoffs.
Are there two questions here, though? Who do you want and who's best for the future? I don't know.
Well, let's discuss that.
Okay.
I would say these are your options. Shedeur Sanders.
Yes.
Dylan Gabriel.
Yes.
Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
Somebody you take with a very high pick in the draft. Because if you take a guy in the second round or third round with everything else that's on the table here, Dylan, Shedeur, Deshaun, I would think a guy who's not like a top three or five pick isn't going to be your starter next year. Or a veteran that you get in a free agent or a trade. Through free agency or a trade.
I've got a pecking order on what I'd like to see. I got to ask you a question. Is Kevin Stefanski still the coach?
That's not part of the equation.
Does it matter?
No.
I think it does.
I don't know that it does when it comes to this position. Hmm. And I say that for this reason. If Kevin's back, you're still looking for a quarterback, whether it's outside or inside the organization.
Okay. If I just think that if Gabriel's an option, I think that leans towards Stefanski staying.
All right. Who do you want?
I don't know that I'm married to.
Give me your choice number one for what you would like to see next year.
My choice number one would be to have Sanders just jump off the page and you don't really have to worry about a whole lot of stuff.
That would also be my number one choice.
Okay.
That he goes out starting this week and is so intriguing, dynamic, makes you think, yep, we have something here that we need to see more of the rest of this year. And then if he continues to do it, Andy, my hope would be that he shows that he's a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL and you can move forward and do other things with those picks next year. But see, that I don't know that that's actually possible. And I say that for this reason. You're going to have a franchise altering position in the draft next year. Perhaps with two number one picks, a chance to move up and take a guy if you think that quarterback is head and shoulders above everybody. And I don't know if anybody on this team this year can go out and show enough the rest of the way to make you think you don't need to do that next year. I hope, but the hope is yes. And I think the hope is more Shedeur than Dylan in that situation. So I'm with you. Ideally, he's phenomenal the rest of the way, and he answers the question who the starting quarterback is next year.
That is your best case scenario, because then you take your top three picks next year, you get two offensive linemen and a wide receiver.
Or something of that sort. Craig's in Akron. Craig.
Hey, Craig.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you?
Oh, not too shabby. How about you?
Good, good.
So I want to say I would focus more on the players that help quarterback. I mean, we already have two quarterbacks. We totally missed not taking McMillan in this draft. 6'5" stud Mike Evans clone.
Hey, Carolina. He's been really good too, Mike. Or Craig, I'm sorry. You said Mike. I was thinking Mike Evans.
Yeah, well, a Mike Evans clone. He's just like Mike Evans. But imagine if we would have had him last week to throw that long pass to instead of the 5'8" guy. You know, for that touchdown. I mean, when you draft guys like that, you draft guys who help a quarterback. So aren't you, in essence, almost drafting a quarterback when you get them help? I mean, we need to get these guys help. You know what? I'm not even touching quarterback next year. Nothing but wide receivers, offensive line. Focus on the offense, not taking a defense guy.
So, Craig, answer the question. Who do you want to see at quarterback next year? Is it Shedeur? Is it Dylan? Is it Watson? Is it a veteran you sign a free agency if you're not going draft?
Honestly, you guys are going to hate me for this, but I like what I see out of Gabriel. I like a lot of what I see out of Gabriel.
We're not going to hate you.
No, look, if Gabriel can be the starting quarterback for next year, then we're good to go.
That would be fine too, wouldn't it? To be honest.
I mean, honestly, 95% of this game is underneath. Do quarterbacks average 20 yards per throw, or do they average 6 to 9 yards per throw? You know, getting those first downs and hitting people in stride, even if it's a 4-yard pass, it could go for 60 yards if you hit the guy in stride. And he could throw it downfield. Like, Phillip Rivers went over this, and even Tom Brady, he said most quarterbacks beat themselves by trying to force things that aren't there instead of taking what the defense gives them. And that's from Tom Brady.
It's probably why Jameis, and Craig, thank you, it's probably why Jameis is now a backup. Because, man, that guy could throw it. Mike and Stowe. Mike, I think you have a valid point that I think you're going to share.
Yeah, no, Jeff, you and me are right in sync of exactly what we want to do here as far as the season. I think, you know, you're getting a little flack from some later afternoon kind of people about your stance on where the team should go, but I'm right with you. You know, the middle of the field ain't going to do it as any good. We want to go top-line quarterback, and I was listening to Mary Kay earlier. I'm not a cap guru, but from what I understand, we're going to have Deshaun on this team next year, or it's just going to cost us way too much from a cap hit. So you got him as one spot. If we're going to absolutely be going after another quarterback top of the field, because we can't have another of the same. That's a great point.
Could you take Drew Aller in the second round?
Yeah, but why, Andy?
Jeff kind of told you, look, Andy, it's not a terrible thought. He does have a high ceiling, I think, for where he's at right now. Risk reward, I think, is probably good with that guy, but it's still another quarterback similar to what we've, maybe a little better than what we've got arm strength, but it's less of a sure thing, and there is no such thing.
I don't think there's a sure thing in this draft. I'm going to be honest. Like I've watched Mendoza. I like him. I just don't. You know, the thing is you put a guy, you draft him high, and then if you don't surround him with, it's more true than ever that if you don't surround him with a couple wide receivers that can go up and get a ball, that it doesn't make a difference. You could be the best quarterback in college football, and if you don't have it around you, you are in big trouble.
Absolutely, Andy, and that's the big part. Like that gets to kind of like all this talk about, you know, what we have a lot to need, you know, add to this team in order to get us in a good spot. That's why I'll get you guys move on. But caveat to that is that, you know, expectations this weekend for Mr. Samuels, to be realistic about it, you know, and I've been saying that about Dylan this whole season too. He's not had the best around him. The line is continuing to kind of fall apart as it goes. You know, receiving core, I'm not knocking who's out there. They're trying, but we have one of the lower rated ones, and we know why. We can see it. So, expectations should be where they're at. But, yeah, you know, I want to draft high because that's going to be one of three guys because it sounds like we're going to have Deshaun here no matter what. And we got to rebuild that line and everything else. We can't take
– Oop, lost
Mike, you broke up. Up there you are. Mike, phone broke up on us there. You have a second scenario? If what we're hoping, and I think your first thought...
I know you don't want to hear this one.
Well, which is the same as my first thought, which is, you know, Shador lights it up and he's the guy and answers questions. I just don't know that, A, he can do it, and B, there's enough time to make the organization so confident in him that they look past next year's draft. What's your second option?
Watson, Gabriel.
Either one.
Yeah, and then draft. And then, you know, Watson, Gabriel, draft, and hopefully a little bit later you go with Aller. That way, okay. Again, I'm taking my early picks and rebuilding the offensive line and getting some wide receivers in here so that if the quarterbacks, I'm not like, remember how thrilled we were? Like, oh, this could be a great quarterback draft. It's going to be. I don't know. Like, I don't.
Well, it was supposed to be at the beginning of the year because they thought as many as six guys.
Where was Mendoza? Mendoza was like a 25 to 20, 30, you know.
Right.
Guy.
He wasn't even in the picture.
Right.
Andy, the guys who were at the top are now not there anymore. And guys have moved up, like Simpson.
Yeah.
He's moved up. Dante Moore at Oregon has moved up.
I can't see.
Arch Manning has dropped because a lot of folks just think he's going back in 2027.
And by the way, don't take away that. I think Manning's going back too. But so then now I ask you, Jeff, if Manning's going back and you're looking at.
Well, not, here you go.
Now you're looking at 2 years down the road. And are you still trying to get that? And by the way, you could get. I mean, I don't know.
Here's my second scenario. If Shador. Or perhaps Dylan lights it up, and that's my number one scenario. And you decide they're the guy. Number two is a combination. It's either Deshaun Watson playing quarterback next year.
Yeah.
Or you have signed or traded a later round pick for a veteran.
Okay.
Who comes in, holds down the fort for a year, and you earmark the 2027 draft. Now, to do that, you're probably going to trade out of the first round of this year with one of those picks and kick it down the road. And that might not go over real well because you need help at wide receiver. You certainly need help on the offensive line. You know, those are clearly the spots to go get help. You know, you might be able to rebuild the offensive line in free agency, but there's some tackles out there. In fact, Matt Miller with the Jacksonville pick had the Browns taking the other offensive tackle out of Utah.
I saw that.
If you had to play Deshaun for a year, final year of his contract, Menigan's groaning. If you had to play him while having Shadur or Gabriel as the backup, all right, you could do that. You've added to the team, maybe you win some games. And you kick the quarterback, big decision down the road for a year. Or you trade for Mac Jones, you sign another veteran who's out there and one of these, you know, guys who needs a spot to come in and play for a year. And we've seen teams have some success with that. And you kick it down the road for a year and maybe give Shadur or Dylan another year to develop as a backup in the system and blah, blah, blah.
And then
you're
looking at Julian Sain or Manning.
Yeah.
We know Manning needs another year.
Or Lenore Sellers, if he goes back.
That's fine.
I mean, there are numerous guys in this class in 2026 who could go back to school.
Can you not see the Haslams still enamored with having a Manning at quarterback?
Oh, are you kidding? Of course they would.
Yes.
And watching him play, Andy, I'd be all for it. I mean, he looks really rough and just brimming with potential.
Of course.
You know?
Yes.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Interesting conversation that has started to sprout up as we get you ready for Shedeur Sanders' first start on Sunday against the Raiders. And it should note, we'll get to the Alex Wright stuff as well. Call me crazy, but it's not the biggest news in the world, and I don't think we should put all things into it, but we'll get to that as well. But I do think the narrative that is starting to, or narratives rather, that is starting to take place is whether the Browns are going to let Shedeur be Shedeur on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm at a little bit of a crossroads in this one, because like the part of Shedeur that he wants to display is a part of Shedeur that I think a lot of fans would just have him not display. What I mean by that is, I think when he runs backwards, for instance, there are plays where he escapes out of it. We just tend to ignore those because they're offset by the times that he gets sacked for 14 yards. I think Shedeur looks at that part of his game as a feature and not a bug. Mm-hmm. And I think the difference here is that I think fans would just be a lot easier if he just kind of, I don't know, threw the ball into the bleachers, and instead of taking a sack or even trying to risk and go for the big play, he just took it a little bit easier. I just don't know that he knows how to play football that way, or excuse me, wants to play football that way.
Yeah, I think it's and by the way, I'm gonna divide this further. I think the fans would love to see the big Shedeur plays. If the Fannin touched, if the Fannin pass happens multiple times a quarter, I'll take him turning his back to the defense in a disastrous sack once a quarter, too.
Yeah, with the understanding that, hey, down the road, we'll get that cleaned up.
Yeah,
we can't do it right now, but down the road, we will.
But I think the problem is I don't know that's how Kevin Stefanski feels. I think Kevin bought in so hard to, well, turnovers were really the only reason we went 3-14. Quarterback play was really the only reason we went 3-14, which, again, is not, it's not really true, but it's something that he, I think, just leaned into rather than deal with why that team failed as much as they did. And so I think fans in Shedeur want shizzle, right? And I think Kevin Stefanski would be as over the moon as you possibly could be if on Sunday, after that game went down, Shedeur just did his best Dylan Gabriel impression.
Yeah, I don't think he has that in him, though, is the difference here.
And Kevin or Shedeur?
No, Shedeur, that is. I think, and you saw that. I think you saw that in the half of football that he got to play. I think his brain instinctively goes for the let's be legendary moments. And I like this side of Shedeur, by the way. And also, I would tell him, you know, I once had somebody in radio that I respect and I like a lot.
Thank you.
It was not you, but either way.
Okay.
I respect and like you, but it's, you know, it wasn't
good,
you. Not with
save.
This, not with this piece of advice.
Erase your phrase?
No, but the thing they said and they stressed was that a lot of times you get the job and then you start acting a little bit different. You start acting like not yourself. And like, you got to do what got you the job to begin with. That's the reason why you got the job, is for whatever you displayed in that beginning setting. He's like, I've watched so many people on radio, they get the job and then they try to become something different or they act something different and it blows up on them. Do what got you the job. And when it comes to Shedeur, I would tell him, go back to what you did at Colorado. Go back to what you did at Jackson State. Go back to what you've done your entire life. Do what got you to the spot where you are right now. And that's going to be way better than trying to conform to what Kevin Stefanski wants or whatever version of Dylan Gabriel we're suggesting that Stefanski would turn him into.
Yeah, I think the problem is we know how Stefanski likes to operate. I think the cardinal sin of Stefanski is, you didn't do exactly what I said. I think that was part of the rub with Baker between the two of them.
I think he's already expected that's going to happen with Shedeur anyway. If you score touchdowns and you have this offense looking like it's actually got a pulse, then I think Stefanski will turn around real quick.
All right, so I think we might finally get to a point where, yeah, we love our process, but I'll take some results right now. I think that's the most fascinating push and pull of this, is has Stefanski gotten so desperate with just how bad the offense has looked, and understanding that if 2-8 leads to 3-14, it's really hard to come back as a head coach after 6 wins in 2 seasons in 34 games. That is an element of what they're going to allow. Now, Tommy Rees, Browns offensive coordinator, and then that's Tommy Rees, Browns offensive coordinator. he spoke today on finding the balance between going on and off script.
With all quarterbacks, you try to find that right blend, right? I don't think you can play this game completely by the book, and I don't think you can play this game completely like a cowboy, right? You got to have the blend of both, and that's something we try to instill in our guys. And I would say Shedeur has some ability to play within the framework of the offense, just like Dylan has some ability to play free and create plays.
I really think, after watching what they did with Joe Flacco the first 4 weeks of this season, I think we need to go in and understand that they think their job. I would be really surprised if Kevin didn't think his job this week in practice was to rein in Shedeur Sanders. And by the way, I don't think it's going to be good for Shedeur or the Browns. But I think that's 100% how Kevin Stefanski came into this week thinking, how do I reach this kid?
Some birds aren't meant to be caged, Nick. That's how I feel about Shador. And so I feel like if you're gonna go ahead and try to cage him, it's not gonna end well for you. It's gonna end like what happened when you tried to do it to Flacco, when you tried to do it to Dylan Gabriel. It's not gonna go well for you.
I just like that's like a very sage advice, but we're talking about a fifth round rookie who
it applies just the same.
Like Kevin.
It applies just the
same. If you love Shador and you let him go and he comes back to you, that's real love.
I don't know what you have
to
lose.
If you let Shador go and he doesn't come back, well, there's your answer.
Hey, listen, Kevin, I don't know what you have to lose. You got everyone in the media now on your side being like, oh, Kevin told us all it's a red shirt season. To hell he did. He just told you this last week. I'm so infuriated by that. At some point, I'm just going to lose my mind on that discussion.
Could it be now?
All right, right now. So here's the thing. So everyone's been reporting now all week long that apparently he had some sort of Stefanski's been going around and saying red shirt season for Shador. That's been the plan the entire time. If that's been the plan the entire time, why is it we're just now hearing about that being the plan? If that existed the entire time, we would have heard about it before this last week, would we not have? It's a bonkers to me. Just because he tells it to you or it gets through to you at some point this week that it was some sort of red shirt season doesn't mean that it's automatically been the case the entire time. Stefanski could, in fact, be making this up as he goes and saying things. Also, very convenient to say it's a red shirt season. Meanwhile, he's been the backup quarterback since October 7th. Like, what in the hell are we doing?
So what you're telling me is that the organization that is routinely misled, withheld, just overall not been very truthful with their fans in the media, you're saying they could create a narrative after something's gone down that actually doesn't align with reality?
Yeah, and we're watching it as people are now rewriting the whole entire thing, being like, well, he's been this whole way. Everyone's known it's a redshirt season. No, we haven't. That has not been what anyone has been saying the entire time.
All right.
Stop that. He's been a backup quarterback for almost a month and a half now. You can't rewrite history this way. Oh, it makes me so mad.
Oh, man. What, we don't talk about rewriting history. We don't want the rewriting of history. We don't want to get into revisionist history, throwing that around.
And people are going to recount this. I get mad because I like to think of myself as like, what really happened in the moment? And then 5 years from now when we discuss this type of thing, I'll be arguing with somebody and they'll be telling me, oh, no, it was always a red shirt season. That's what this was always going to be. No, we just heard about this 3 days ago that it's a red shirt season and we're supposed to act like that's common knowledge the entire time. No. Just because they tell it to you now doesn't mean that all was always true and was always how they were thinking about it. That's insane.
I don't understand how after 6 years with these guys, we don't understand the difference between what they say and reality. I feel like you and I both have gone on different tangents this year to be like, guys, just because they say it doesn't mean it's true. And it is wild. And I think a lot of this, by the way, I think we're so conditioned. For a long time, we just knew, well, whatever they say is probably hogwash. Because they've been here 6 years, I do think that there's been a level of trust embedded for the casual fan that I think we've almost forgotten of like, hey, that organization really hasn't earned that benefit of the doubt when they say things.
Not in the slightest bit. So I don't know. I'm a little angry about that. I'm a little angry about the idea that it seems like now the idea that even that they're going to try to even cage Shador in some sort of way or limit what he's even going to try to do gets me all hot and bothered.
I need you to accept this.
I think he beats to his own drum. I just think he's so comfortable with who he is.
Then he won't start again for the Cleveland Browns.
I think somebody like Dylan Gabriel. I think you can say, go out and do my bidding. If you don't do my bidding, then we'll just throw you away like days old Chinese food. I think Shador, he just goes to his own speed.
Yeah, I love you, buddy, but I think Shador has to prove he can fit in before he fits out. I think it's dumb. I wouldn't do it, but I think that's how Kevin Stefanski operates.
I think he's got one game. I think if he throws multiple touchdown passes and looks like the Shador we've always known, but also throws touchdowns and everything in between, I think he's going to look at Stefanski afterwards and be like, if you're not happy with that, you'd rather throw check down Charlie out there, then go ahead. You do that if you want to do that, but look at what just happened.
The only way it doesn't matter if Shador goes full Shador is if he has like a 4 touchdown performance and they win by 2 tutties. If it's subjective in any way, if the Shahaters can say he stunk and the supporters can say he was great, if that's the takeaway on Monday and Shador went full Shador, you know he's not seeing the field again.
I think Flacco, there was one play where he tried to basically go back to the old Flacco, and it was an interception that Ross Tucker, it was week 2, Ross Tucker described as like one of the more embarrassing interceptions he's ever seen. And I think that then was like, Flacco's like, all right, I guess I got to play your game. I guess I got to do it the way you want to do it. I tried, and I think if Flacco would have gotten away with it in that moment, that would have been a big-time play. We might have seen a different Flacco for the remaining part of the season.
216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media. Social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We got quick hits coming up at 240. We've got Emery Hunt, owner of Football Game Plan. We'll talk Shador Sanders' first NFL start at 3, the quarterback Deadpool, which mine's pretty much just dead. Coming up at 3:40, we've got Pete Futek, college football news at 4 today, and we've got Cash Lovett.
Hate it.
Coming up at 6:30 today with his picks for the week. So much to get into on today's show, but 216-474-0092. Will the Browns let Shador be Shador on Sunday? And maybe the opposite can be true. Maybe the Browns don't want Shador to be legendary after all. We have one analyst that thinks so. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
So I said earlier in the show, I'm not getting beat up as bad as I thought I would. I think it's a lot of people, and I'm thankful for it. It's a lot of people who, they've come to our show, they are Shador fans, and they're going, Ken, come on, Ken. And I'm going, guys, I'm telling you, I got to use your own words against you. And it's not just what Albert Breer said. It's Albert Breer wouldn't say it like that. I mean, I'll get the audio. I'm putting Kayla in a bad spot here. I'll get the audio again just to play it again. Like we just had around the AFC North. He had one person who was pretty bullish about the Browns. Pony's pony, so he doesn't comment. I mean, Ken Winan basically started laughing at us from 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. He's like, it's got to be better than what it was on Sunday. Go, it's hard for it to get any worse. And my issue with it was going, hey, like, you guys don't like the coach. You don't like the system. You don't like the organization and how it's structured. And you gave the guy no reps, nothing before. And not, like, even in the preseason, even in training camp, there was nothing there. And this thing's supposed to look really, really good coming up on Sunday in 3 days of practice. 3 days. And I've had football coaches texting me all this morning, like, not like, Ken, you're high school, but no. They are tuned in now. And I got guys saying, hey, like, Coach Lance, who joins us, he was one of them. And he says, hey, or he joins the fan, I should say. He joins the guys in the afternoon, but not us. He says, you know, it's the 15 plays. They're going to try to calm him down. That's going to be a big deal. And I'm like, okay, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. As a guy who wants Shador to do well, I hope that he's able to continue that, and I hope I'm wrong. But a guy who definitely is struggling with some of this and who did not get many opportunities before the season, I don't know how you're going to all of a sudden make this thing so much better in 3 days of practice getting ready for the Raiders. The best thing that people can tell me is that the Raiders are terrible, but they're still pros. I'd feel much different if they were playing Temple. I'd feel much different if they were playing Akron won yesterday, and I want to give them credit. I'd feel much different if they were playing Bowling Green. They're playing a bunch of pros. And their offense is bad. Their offense is also bad. But your defense, it's such a frustrating thing. And you guys go, Ken, why do you still care? Because I'm watching, guys, you're watching a championship-level defense. This is a Super Bowl-caliber defense. Your offense is one of the worst you've ever seen. And so your Browns defense end up, because I don't know what's going to show up on special teams. They were good last week. Who the hell knows what they're going to do against the Raiders? They were the worst that you could possibly find the week before against the Jets. You have a defense that's now going to play against the Raiders and then two-thirds of your own team. And that's not very good. And you guys don't like the coach. You guys don't like the offensive system. My chest is hurting right now. I hope I just have gas.
Oh, boy.
You're in not a good spot right now. A very, very, very bad spot. And it puts a guy who I like and I want to be successful in a bad spot. But Albert Breer goes on afternoon drive. Clip four there, Kayla. And he says things like this. And I go, well, what do you mean you don't see what they see in Shador?
You know, it doesn't seem like whenever I ask somebody that question, you know, I'm sort of still searching for people, what people are going on at this point, you know, draft position, like the NFL told you what they thought. He winds up, you know, being at the bottom of the depth chart. And then, you know, you see some of these things happen over the course of time. And, you know, he gets in because the Browns were down to the third guy and the third guy got hurt. And then he gets in the game and doesn't look good. Like I'm struggling to see exactly what people are wrapping their arms around right now.
Hope that a very popular QB will change this and fix this. Hope that a guy who has so many fans will be right and will change our entire, because we've tried just about everything. And the last thing I think we have anymore as Browns fans is luck. So we're hoping for luck, but you have to really make your own. And I think that in a lot of ways, there's so many things that you can't fix getting ready for Sunday. I think it's going to go poorly. I think it's going to go really poorly, and I hate to say it. I hope I'm wrong, because Albert Breer went with this because he was so – and again, guys, you have coaches in the NFL speaking through Albert. This isn't just Albert saying it. This is Albert in so many ways regurgitating what a lot of coaches have been saying. That's a terrible way to phrase it. I understand that. But that's him kind of repeating what a lot of coaches have said. I mean, this was the back and forth with Afternoon Drive just yesterday.
Those plays where he drifts, and now all of a sudden he's like screwing his tackles over, right? Like, so his tackles are kind of blocking to a spot and he is like backing into that spot. Those plays have resulted in big hits. On other plays, he's getting pressure from the middle. Do you trust that this week all of a sudden he's going to start stepping up in the pocket, or is he going to reinforce bad habits?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what the practice is for now.
I mean, can you simulate that in practice?
Against Myles Garrett and Mason Graham, I think he might be able to.
In a week? Well, do you think that bad habit that he had for 4 years in college is going to be solved in a week of practice? I don't know.
I feel bad for Nick, because Nick was like, oh, I think with Mason Graham and Myles Garrett, yeah. It's like, oh, in a week you're going to do that after four years of college?
And,
like, ugh.
And it's not really...
I was with you, Nick.
It's not really a week. Like, yeah, he might have been in the building yesterday and the day before. I mean, they were off yesterday, but he might have been in the building.
He's probably in the building.
Yeah, I would imagine so. You're the starting quarterback. Act like it, right? I imagine he was. But you're not doing practice. You're not actually going up against anybody until today.
Yeah.
And then we have tomorrow, and then Friday is going to be, we're not sure what kind of a day Friday is going to be.
Guys,
so that's it. That's all you get. So here's what I wonder, because there's no doubt what we have said about the two quarterbacks. It's really unfair. It's been a half of football. And Dillon Gabriel, it's also kind of unfair to just act like his five full games or four and a half games are his career. But it's not looking good for Dillon Gabriel, obviously. But the thing is, what we've noticed the differences is, hey, look at what they're tasking Dillon Gabriel to do. The lowest ADOT in the league. People are becoming familiarized with that term, but it's depth of target.
Jonathan brought it up to him yesterday. Yeah.
It's dinking and dunking. Like, there's just a fancier way to say they're only going short on any of these. And there hasn't been a lot of hope. We finally did see him start to take off. Finally.
Yeah.
But it also might have led to him getting hurt. But with Shador, what we said we liked about him was, hey, look, they're going vertical. My question is, Kenny, will they trust him now with a week of practice to go vertical if they think he's got these bad habits? Because if they think he's got these bad habits, how often are they truly going to send him in those situations?
Then I might find myself agitated. Like, you got to lean into what he's comfortable with. You have to.
Is that the freelancing, though?
I'd like to say that you're just not going to put this guy. You're in a situation. I think everybody's in a situation they'd rather not be in. I think that Shador is starting before he's ready. I think he's starting before the Browns are ready. And to try to turn him into some sort of robot is going to make it even worse. Like, that's what I'm bringing up to everybody. I know a lot of people hear it and they just hear hater, liar. No. I ask you, as I came to this conclusion of what I think is going to be on Sunday, which I think is going to be a pretty rough day for everybody involved, including Browns fans, what do you think of the coaching staff? What do you think of the organizational structure? You guys don't think much because you've been ranting and raving about it for the last 6 months. So if you've been ranting and raving about how this whole thing is set up in the last 6 months, you can't tell me you feel great unless you just believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that he can rise and overcome all of this. But you also believe that they hold him back. So you also have a belief that they're going to hold him back on Sunday. Do you not? How can you think that this is going to go exceptionally well? It can go better than what it did against the Ravens, because it has to. It has to. I pray that I'm wrong. I don't want him to fail. I don't. I'm so tired of talking about all these other QBs. And I look at the guys in college and I'm like, well, there's always good. I'm tired of having these arguments. Now I'm getting angry and I'm going to get loud. I'm sorry. Let me pull it back. I'm tired of having these arguments. This isn't fun. This isn't fun. It's not fun to have to sit here and dust off the same old crap that I was talking about in 2011. It's not fun to do that. I don't like it. Don't you? Doing the don't you get it thing again. I'm tired of doing the quarterback thing all over again. I want him to be successful. But they get in their own way. They put people in bad situations. They fail. And we go, I can't believe this guy is failing. Really? We can't believe they're failing? Drifts out of the pocket. Let's give him the worst of offensive tackles we could possibly find. That's going to work. I mean, we're hoping Jack Conklin can go on Sunday.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of Jack Conklin to begin the year? Hope I'm wrong. Really hope I'm wrong. I think that the Raiders can beat themselves, and I hope he takes advantage of it. I really, really do, because I am so tired of hoping against hope for something that ain't going to happen. And I don't want any of the other guys to be. I don't want Bailey Zappi or Deshaun Watson out there. Love. Good God, no. No. Give me a chance with Shador. And I just don't know if he's got that. Terry in Euclid, hello.
Hey, what's happening, man?
Hi, Terry.
Hey, this is the thing. First of all, you got to ask yourself, they're talking really out of both sides of their mouth. You got to ask yourself, why would you cut two veteran quarterbacks if you thought Shador didn't have it?
That's you traded him. You traded him.
Right. Well, that's what I mean, trade it. Why would you trade it? Why would you get rid of two veteran quarterbacks if you thought Shador wasn't the answer? And the other thing is, it's telling me that maybe you think he is the answer, and why would you not give him the tools to be successful up to now? You know, and also, if you look at it, Shador is going to get the ball down the field, whether they like it or not. He's going to throw the ball down the field. And that's the pro offense. And the last thing I want to ask you is, when you look at all the quarterbacks in college right now, which one of them can you say has a better skill set than Shador? And I can say one, and that he's not coming out yet. And that's the guy at Ohio State.
Who? Oh, Fernando Mendoza isn't better?
I don't think Fernando Mendoza is better. I don't think Mendoza is better.
We did talk to somebody yesterday, Jordan Reed, who said, right now, I think he has two quarterbacks with a first-round grade.
And I'll tell you this.
And Mendoza was one of them.
Terry, let me go back to all of this, though. I mean, you say how could they trade the two veterans if they didn't think that Shador had it? They could trade the guys just to make sure that they get a look at the players out there, and so you don't have to go out there and have to get a look at Deshaun Watson at any time soon, and you play guys that people are excited about. I mean, everybody's telling me that the season isn't about winning, so it's got to be about what? It's got to be about interesting football. Lyman led off the show. We'll do things just to make it interesting. The Browns do things all the time just to make things interesting. They talked about a redshirt year. They talked about not playing him until basically the end of the season, and now all of a sudden he's starting against the Raiders? And that's the best thing I can say. He started on the road against the Raiders, and the Raiders are terrible. That's the best thing. They traded guys for picks. They're trading things for the future. They don't believe. They probably don't believe in any of the four quarterbacks that they had. Maybe
Dylan. When I talked to you before the season, I told you that Joe Flacco, whether he was 6-0 or 0-6, was not going to be good for this team going forward. Remember, I don't know. You probably don't remember that, but that's the thing.
I actually do vaguely remember. So what is the issue?
The issue is that if they thought that Shador, just the whole thing, the bottom line is, if they thought Shador is not ready and not the quarterback that they thought he was, then they shouldn't have got rid of the better quarterback.
No, that's not true at all. This is the same group and some of the same people and some of the same leftover thinking that also traded away. Terry, thank you for the call. They traded away Brock Osweiler, they cut Brock Osweiler they could get the second round pick.
And then
who did they put out there? Deshaun Kizer. Deshaun Kizer wasn't ready for that. Dobbs wasn't ready. The Dobbs trade, no one was ready for that. They don't care. It doesn't matter if they know he's ready. They're just going to put him out there. And then we'll all sit there and get mad at each other and cuss each other out. Over what? Because the guys weren't ready to play? They've done this before. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, fifth rounder, had to go out there and start. Didn't know 90 minutes before he started.
Now people forget, that's on the resume of this organization.
At least this guy has a head start. But they've let go of guys who were veterans before. They didn't sit there, and if they did think that Deshaun Kizer, and by the way, Andrew Berry was a part of that front office at that time,
yeah, people,
that evaluated
people do
Deshaun
forget that.
Kizer, he evaluated Deshaun Kizer, and they just put him out there. They're not above just, here you go. Here's a guy. Here's a warm body. Put him out there. They're not above that.
On the line is Nick Costos, host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check the latest lines on the BetMGM app. Catch You Better You Bet weekdays 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern and You Better You Bet countdown to kickoff Sundays 11 to 1, leading you up to kickoff on the BetMGM network on the Odyssey app.
Nick, good morning, my friend.
Hey, hey.
Nick. How we doing, guys?
We are well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I wish the weather were a little warmer, but otherwise doing well here on this Thursday. Great sports weekend ahead. Absolutely love it.
It's going to be warm in Vegas on Sunday. We can't wait because we have a showdown. The 2-8 Browns and the 2-8 Raiders.
Dun, 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 dun.
Here we go, Nick.
I'll tell you what. As far as like 2-8 versus 2-8, is this like the most interested anyone's ever been in a matchup of two teams this bad this late in the season? Like, this is legitimately, like, I can't wait for this game. I think it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a spectacle, obviously, with Shedeur Sanders starting. Now, the Raiders are 4-point favorites at home. The total of the game is 36. So I'll be
36,
honest, right?
36, ooh.
Well, I mean.
Yeah, I get it. I've seen it.
Did you watch the Raiders on Monday night?
And I've watched the Browns all season.
Just like, you know. It doesn't have to turn out this way, and I know, like, the Browns fans that listen to your guys' show, you guys are very sensitive, and I'm just saying, it's a little sensitive about Shedeur. I understand.
You think?
I would say to people, think about it. It doesn't have to turn out this way, right? Look at what the Raiders did on Monday night. They were an absolute embarrassment against the Dallas Cowboys.
It was really bad.
It was like, to the point that I came on the air on my show on Tuesday and said the Raiders need to fire Pete Carroll, and I didn't get one dissenting message or anyone disagreeing with that thought. It's crazy, right? And I think I'm right about that. So on Monday, in the afternoon, the point spread of this game was Raiders -3. And I said on the air, because the report came down that Gabriel was in concussion protocol, Shedeur might start. I was like, look, like, I think you kind of have to bet the Raiders now if you like the Raiders in the game. Almost no matter what happens tonight, meaning Monday night. The Raiders were an embarrassment on Monday night, and lo and behold, they're more of a favorite after that game than they were before the game because Shedeur got announced as the quarterback, which does so. Browns fans, like, please listen to what I'm saying right now. That does not mean that Shedeur can't play well. The Raiders' defense is absolutely terrible. So if there were a game that Shedeur could play well in, it would be this one. And at current prices, right, with the Raiders being a 4-point favorite, I would actually never bet the Raiders at this number. Not with how bad their offensive line is and with Myles Garrett and Mason Graham and company rushing the passer. So I actually think the only bet to be made right now is on the Browns. I did bet the Raiders on Monday, though. I have Raiders -3. So that's how I'm choosing to bet the game. And I will pay to see Shedeur Sanders beat me. I'm not saying it won't happen. I'm just saying, like, I'm willing to bet against it happening.
Is there a lot of money going on this game? I mean, like, if you're looking at all the games for this weekend, do you think people are like, ooh, got to get into that? Or is it, I mean, I know there's parlay money and there's all this other stuff, but like, just looking at that games, like, do you think people are in on that?
It's an NFL game, so like,
right,
like,
I get it. Yeah,
people could. Well, I would say, like, you know, to the casual viewer, right? If I put casual sports fan, Browns Raiders in front of you and Jaguars Cardinals in front of you, which game are you more likely to put or Falcons Saints?
Browns Raiders.
Browns Raiders.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you're right.
Is it even close?
No, it's not even close. Because the Raiders are an interesting watch in and of themselves with Genty and Bowers and what the heck Geno Smith might do.
Yeah, I think the game's going to be a spectacle. I would not be surprised. So again, like, and people will say, well, like, you play both sides. It's like, no, like, there's no such thing as a sure thing. I'm telling you where I'm betting my money. But would it be incredibly surprising if in this matchup, like, against this, the Raiders are horrible, that Shedeur looks okay? I wouldn't be surprised. I have bet the other side, but like, it would not be a legitimate stunner if Shedeur played okay in the game. I don't think he will. But it would not be a legitimate stunner if he did, given the competition. It's not like they're on the road at the Eagles. Like, he's going to play poorly in that game. Like, the Raiders, he could maybe play well against.
So I would think over-unders when it comes to Shador might be getting some attention.
Well, I think, you know, the fun thing about over-unders is, you know, you can certainly construct a scenario where Shador does nothing in the game and the Browns can't do anything against the Raiders defense, or you could construct a scenario where Shador throws a couple picks or loses a couple fumbles in plus territory, and they're able to convert short fields. And on the flip side, you have a quarterback in Geno Smith that loves throwing interceptions and putting the ball on the ground, and the offensive line stinks, and here comes Myles Garrett.
He loves it.
Yeah, like I'm not betting the total in this game. I'm just like, there's definitely an avenue for it to go over, and it's the quarterbacks both turning it over a lot.
It's interesting. I'm just looking at the coverage map for this weekend's game, and obviously it's just you're kind of there's a little bit of maybe, is that Utah? No, it isn't Utah. What is it? I don't even know.
Well, the problem is that like Eagles Cowboys is in that window.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, like that's an NFC game, but that's going to get the lion's share of the attention on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah,
Browns Raiders is going to be second though.
Off the coverage map, I'm kind of looking at it. Who knows? When you look at Shador Sanders, like what can you kind of expect this week compared to last week?
Yeah, like knowing, he's probably gonna take a lot of sacks.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I feel pretty confident in. Now look, like
that's it.
We had Brian Baldinger on the show yesterday, mm-hmm. and I know he comes on, I don't know if he comes on with you guys, but he comes on a ton of Odyssey stations, right?
Right. Yes.
And he was a little bullish on Shador, and his thing was basically, and look, it's a totally fair argument to construct, is that he's got no first team reps all season. He gets thrown like to the wolves against the Ravens, like mid game. Like now he's going to get a full week of starters reps under the belt going against a way worse defense. Where like I can keep saying it. The Raiders suck. Like, they have, like, one good player on defense, and it's Max Crosby. And they're 2-8, so it's like, he's not impacting things that much. It's like Myles Garrett. Like Garrett's a great player, the Browns are 2-8.
Yeah.
Crosby's a great player, the Raiders are 2-8. So, like, would it be, like, could Judy have a nice game? Could the tight end, could Fannin have a nice game? Yes. I would like to, my opinion, just like, and I can have an opinion, just like anybody else can, my opinion is I would like to see Shador do it first before I believe it's going to happen. I am betting against it happening for Shador Sanders this week.
Hmm. Nick Costos joining us, our Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. What's happened to Super Bowl odds with the Patriots and the Broncos sitting on top of things with, what, records of 9-2? How have things moved in that area?
So there are two favorites, and I really agree with this, and I talked about this on You Better You Bet earlier in the week. I don't know if the way to do this is to bet the NFC to win the Super Bowl. I think the Rams and the Eagles, those are the two favorites right now, the co-favorites to win the Super Bowl. I do think those are the two best teams and the two teams most likely to win the Super Bowl.
I like the Rams.
Yeah, I see, like, I like the Eagles, but you can certainly make a case for the Rams. I think the only AFC team, and I can get to like directly answering your question in a second, but I think this is a fun way to frame it. Let's take Indy, and let's say the Colts make the Super Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say the Patriots make the Super Bowl. The Broncos make the Super Bowl. I don't think Buffalo can ever win the Super Bowl because I think their defense isn't good enough, and the Ravens are way too inconsistent for me. If any of those teams make it and have to play like Philly or the Rams, I think Philly or the Rams beat all those teams. The only team in the AFC that I think has the upside to beat one of those elite NFC teams is Kansas City. But the Chiefs are 5-5, and like, to be fair, like, they keep losing. So at what point am I going to give it up, and is the betting market going to give it up on the Chiefs? The answer is not now. Kansas City is tied for the second odds on the board to win the Super Bowl at 5-5.
At 5-5.
So the Rams and the Eagles are the co-favorites. Yeah. The Bills and the Chiefs are second at +850. The next AFC team is Indy, followed by Baltimore. Denver's at 15. The Patriots are at 16. Now, you have to remember just something about betting the Super Bowl. Like, the question is not, can they get there? Now they have to win it. They have to win the Super Bowl. I think the Patriots are 0 to win. I think the Broncos are 0 to win. The Ravens and Bills, they have Lamar and Josh, so you can't say they're 0, but I think they're close to 0. I think the Chiefs are the only, I think the Colts are 0 with Daniel Jones. I think the Chiefs are the only AFC team that I would like to beat one of the elite teams of the NFC, and I would choose to go to war with the Philadelphia Eagles. But just so, you know, to answer the question, the betting market sees Kansas City keep losing and keeps doing like the shrug emoji. Like, okay, great. They're 5-5. Like, we still think they're the best team. At 5-5, they're tied for the second odds to win the Super Bowl.
All right, let me ask you one really quick question and we're going to let you go. When you look at the Browns, who are 0-5 on the road, do you look at them almost like it's a roulette table where you're like, oh, look at the roulette table. Everything's hitting black. Everything's hitting black. Everything's hitting red. Everything's hitting... You know what I'm saying? When you see that 0-5 in a away situation or even a home situation, like, does that, I don't know, does that get your juices flowing? You know what I'm saying? I look at that and I'm like, oh, man, they can't win on the road, man. That, I don't know. You're looking at it.
Well, I think a couple things to get. You always have to consider context, right? Like,
right.
Who have they played on the road? So their 5 road losses this year at Baltimore, like, okay, like totally permissible loss. At Detroit, one of the best teams in the league. Hmm? At Pittsburgh, like tough to win at Pittsburgh. Like the Steelers
especially
are better
us,
than the
yeah.
Browns. Like at the Patriots, who are pretty good this year, obviously. And they lost at the Jets, but I mean, like, you guys all, that's a wonky game with the Jets with the 2 returns,
yep.
Like touchdowns. So, I mean, like, yes, they're 0-5 on the road, but I don't know, like, it feels like a lot of those teams are good, and then they lost a fluky game to the Jets, so I don't necessarily put a ton of stock into that. And I'll just repeat, just on the Browns overall, like, I actually think, like, this season is a success for Cleveland. So many of the young players are good. Like, how good is Schlesinger? Like, he's fabulous, right?
Rookie of the year,
like,
he's
going to be an all-pro. Like, Fannin's good. Like, Mason Graham's good. This is exactly what you wanted this season to be if you're
Judkins.
A Browns fan.
And,
yeah, Judkins
is good. I forgot about him. Like, the Browns were never going to the playoffs this year. And I was consistent in the offseason with you guys. Like, the quarterback of the future is not on the roster. Like, Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders are not going to be the long-term starters for this team. Like, they could be backups, and that's fine. And now you've set yourself up with multiple first-round picks in next year's draft, like a good young nucleus of players, and now you can go get your quarterback and really cook with gas next year. I actually think, like, this season is like a smashing success for the Cleveland Browns, even if the record doesn't show it.
Wow. Nick, a pleasure, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Enjoy that 2-8 showdown.
Yeah, all like your listeners hate me because I'm anti-Shedeur. I just want to tell you guys, I love you guys.
Wishing
everybody minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck.
That was the host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Make it legendary. For all of your betting and sports talk needs, check out the BetMGM Network on the Odyssey app.
Lot of food talk. Since the old mukbang conversation, a lot of food talk in the 92.3 The Fan YouTube chat. I think if your boy bought a bag of, let's say, Cool Ranch Doritos, a big bag, and I just was going to town like Andy Baskin, just ate like you're talking now. So, okay, now I'm eating I think it might send the chat numbers, the YouTube numbers through the roof.
I didn't know the chat was trying to describe what food you were going to eat. For some reason, I just always thought it'd be burgers. I don't know why.
Oh, pizza, burgers, chips. I'd vary it up, right? Although I could.
Yeah, you can't do the same food every single time, but there's going to be like a greatest hits. It's like, oh, we love when Nick eats those burgers.
So basically, it'd be just a fat man's version of ripping off Dave Portnoy, but I just wouldn't give a grade.
No pizza review.
I'd be like, today I've got chicken bacon ranch from here's this spot, and you guys are going to watch me eat it. But I wouldn't say, I'd just be like, oh, I really like this. But I wouldn't be like, 8.2.
I mean, I can't even be like, how bored is the internet if this is like what we've gotten to? We're just watching people eat and then just go about their day is what we take in as content. But we take in all sorts of content these days. I can't judge. I watch all sorts of people do things that are very, very boring.
Like what?
Like golf, for instance. I watch golf YouTube videos all the time. And people would be like, well, that's kind of boring. I don't know. I enjoy it.
So here's the interesting thing about that. Is I think with the kids' generation, it's only worse. Like, my kids will watch.
Well, they're not even good golfers
that
I watch. Like, they're bad. They're like, bad golfers.
I remember, like, stumbling upon my kids watching adults playing with toys. Because the adults came with, like, stories on it.
Yeah.
And I remember just being, like horrified the first time I saw them. Like, what the hell is this? Like, these people are perverts, I guess. It turns out they're not perverts. They're very popular. Well, they might be perverts, but they're not on that.
My nephew, he'll watch other people play video games for hours on end. He's not playing the video game at all. He's just watching them play the video game.
Mac, you do some of this, too,
This is
right?
such a normal thing for their generation.
I'll watch other people play video games,
What do you get out of it?
I mean, for me, it's almost just like hanging out with a friend and watching them play.
It takes me back to my
least favorite part of hanging out with friends.
It takes me back to my childhood when you'd pass the controller. Like, you lost the game, you pass the controller, and then you'd sit there and you'd wait with your other buddies, but you'd just kind of hang out, but you'd be waiting to play again. Like, that was the whole point, is to play the game.
It eventually came back around to you, the idea that you'd be waiting and you never get to play. That's my personal hell right there.
That was a whole thing.
See, for me, it's almost like depending on who I'm watching, because I'll watch different, content creators for...
We're talking about video games now.
Yes, okay. We're talking about video games.
Not other content creators.
No, but for me, it's depending on the different personality for different games and stuff like that. Like it.
My little nephew, he says it's all about strategy and everything too.
Little
tricks here and there by watching some of these guys. Like, he loves it.
Mac, again, we're talking about video game players when he talks about the tricks there.
Okay, I appreciate you explaining that out there.
Yeah, you're welcome. 216-474-0092. I try really hard not to be, I don't understand this, the generation thing. I try like the 6-7 thing. I've embraced it because it's fun. They're having fun.
They're having fun.
I don't understand this push to being like, listen, when people have like, I live in the Cayman Islands and I have, here's my beach life. I understand that, living vicariously. It's
something to aspire to.
Yes. Yeah. But the other person's boring life, which is just as boring as yours, somehow bringing you out of your boring life. I will tell you, I'm still actively working to understand that.
I don't get it either, but this is not where we're at. I just put out whatever content and people will take it in, apparently. Mm. So like you eating Doritos, apparently it could be a big hit out
there.
The
internet is not...
When the internet goes in your favor, you don't ask questions.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We just
accept it.
We just try and get that money train while we possibly can.
Get it rolling.
And then I'll be on the Cayman Islands. Now, all this being said, we talked a lot about Shador's first start here. Mm-hmm. I think the most divisive question I can ask right now is whether one good game starts locks in Shador to start the rest of the season, because I think you could ask 10 different people, and I think you'd get some iteration of 10 different answers.
Well, here's the easy and the right answer, Nick. The easy and right answer is yes. It locks it in. One good game, and we can maybe talk about what that exactly looks like, but one game where everyone walks away and you're unequivocally like, this looked like an offense, and this is how this is supposed to look, then yes, Shador Sanders, congratulations. You get to start for the rest of the season.
This is going to be one of the arguments that we have where you're saying what it should be, and I'm saying what it will be.
Well, and so this is hard. This is this has been the whole like crux of it all. Is like we have to do three different conversations when we're having these Browns conversations. It's like, what do you think? Also, what do you think Kevin Stefanski would do? Also, what do you think Andrew Berry and Haslam will do? And it's like that. It becomes very confusing.
In fairness, I saw enough from Shador's last start. The good. I'm talking about the final drive.
Yeah.
Then unless he just looks unplayable, I'd rather watch what I saw in that final drive from Shador for the final seven games of the season than see Dylan Gabriel again in a starter capacity. If he wants to be the backup, that's fine, because I think that's his role.
Yeah.
The problem is, I think this goes back to the same trend we've realized. Dylan Gabriel has one good game, and that satiates Stefanski for 4 or 5 games, right? I think with Shador, I think one good game's nice. I think one good game just buys him a second game. I really do. And now maybe two good games in a row.
It's a crime if it goes down that way.
But I think that's the way it's going to go. I think they're going to make him earn every opportunity here, as opposed to Dylan, who I think in their opinion has already earned it.
I think what he's going to argue is that we need to see him be more consistent. And the only way to see that then is to actually play him, though. You know what I mean? Like if the end result of a really good game on Sunday, I think they'll turn around and be like, well, where was that for the half of a game last week? And then they'll point to the preseason where he had one really good game and one really not good game. And I think the inconsistency part of his story is going to pop up. And I would say the only way you can have him counter that is actually play him and see what happens.
Well, I think the problem here is I think we're looking at this game as the totality of the Shador experience. It's just the tip of the iceberg for the Browns. It's apparent that Kevin, there was something in the pre-draft process he didn't like. There was something about Shador that he just went and said, that kid's not NFL ready. Or maybe that kid's just not the kind of quarterback.
Oh, by the way, did you see what Stephen A. Smith said yesterday, if you believe his sources? Do you believe his sources?
Sure. And depending on what he says.
Yeah. He says that Stefanski obviously loved Dylan Gabriel. That part's a check mark. But he says Andrew Berry's the one that loves Shador.
Oh, I feel like that's
from what he's been told, Andrew Berry's the one that loves
Shador. I feel
Shador.
Like that makes total sense. I feel like I've said that before.
Well, I mean, he's saying as if he's talked to people in the building.
No, I mean, so I'm not surprised at all because that was always my read on it.
My read on it was always it was Haslam that loved Shador. And I didn't know about Andrew Berry.
Yeah.
Andrew Berry was a question mark to me.
To me, what I think tipped it off was the sideline interactions between Andrew Berry and Shador in the preseason.
They were talking to each other. They seemed like they were genuinely pulling for each other.
That was a genuine reaction between the two of them. And every time I've seen Shador Kevin speak, it's been very clinical.
Is this why Andrew Berry hasn't spoken the entire season? He didn't want to accidentally slip up and let it be like, yeah, I love Shador.
I've always
loved Shador.
I still think Andrew Berry hasn't spoken because they're going to pin this all on Kevin Stefanski and move off of him at the end of the season.
I guess I hadn't been looking at Andrew Berry as the supporter that that Stephen A. was trying to paint him as.
Does it change your feeling on Andrew Berry?
Not really, because I don't really trust much of what Stephen A. is putting out there at the moment anyway, but it is an interesting little angle to it.
But so Sunday's game is not the end, the whole enchilada. It's the tip of the iceberg, meaning that if Kevin Stefanski has negative feelings, whether it's about Shador in general or just Shador's readiness, that goes all the way back to March. And so for Shador to overcome that for 8-9 months of, hey, you're not ready. Kevin has proven he can be stubborn. He can be stuck in his way of thinking about certain players. Well, then one game can't possibly be enough to overcome whatever reservations Kevin has about Shador. It just can't be.
Well, it's going to have to be, because if the offense looks like it has a life and has something to it, then I need Stefanski to wake up his eyes. And I need to actually have him see if it looks as good as we're describing this one game looking, then he's got to be, we always use the word like, is he sabotaging Shador? That's not what would be happening. He'd be sabotaging himself is what would be happening here. Like if you're just going to play blind to it and just pretend that it's not existing, you want to put Dylan in, then that you're just being shooting yourself in the foot.
I think one good play or one good game does earn him another game as starter. It just doesn't earn you the final six games of the season.
If we're talking about this game being as good as we're describing, then it's better than anything we've seen out of six games with Dylan Gabriel. So even if he reverses course and then has a bad game against the 49ers after this Raiders game, Titans game, that's your rebound game. Go back out there and show us what you did in that Raiders game. Do it against the Titans.
Yeah, I don't think that's how Kevin's going to handle this.
Let's build off of this. Well, and that's what I'm saying.
I think you need building blocks across each game. I think he's going to have two or three solid games in a row to avoid going back to Dylan Gabriel.
But if he does that, if he instantly goes, all right, one bad game. Moment you have one bad game, I guess you're out now. Then you're just shooting yourself in the foot. It's you're sabotaging yourself if that's the case.
No, I mean, he's not going to see it that way because he believes in Dylan Gabriel.
But this is why I'm telling him now he needs to wake up. He needs to make sure that he might not because he's stubborn. He might not because, this big bad ego that he doesn't have.
He's the sweetest man in the world.
He needs to figure this out. These are the tests you get to go ahead and try to pass. And by the way, you know what I think is going to change? And maybe we'll get him on the Shador side of things. The amount of people, it's going to piss me off, you know this, but the amount of people that if the game goes as well as we're describing it, there will be people lining up to credit Stefanski for this.
Oh, no, that's the beauty of all this.
And that's his drug.
Yeah.
His drug in all of this is the people lining up to be like, wow, you really handled this the right way, did you not? What a great job by you. Only the two-time coach of the year could have pulled this magic trick off. And it's going to be a drug, right? Hook it right up to him.
Yeah, but
he's going to eat that up.
He can take that hit and then still go, well, because he's still not ready, once you get the first hit, Nick.
Once you get the first hit, that's all you need, Nick.
There's a couple songs about that. But he can totally go back on that. And I agree, by the way. I think if Shador's good on Sunday, all those people who laughed, Albert Breer is going to be like, didn't Kevin do a great job? Aren't you happy with that?
They're all going to go
to that. But the problem is, Kevin can still go, well, we moved heaven and earth to make Shador look good. I think we should go back to Dylan because it just doesn't take the same effort. It's an easier ride with Dylan. Yeah, that's how it's going
to
go.
I mean, cut off your nose to spite your face. We've seen him do it before, so I can't put it past him if he does that. But I think the I think the realization that he's going to get more credit than he thinks he will, I think that'll be something that'll hang on to. And at least that's just me being desperate and hoping that's the case. But if he looks good, you can't just after one game then say, Shador, all right, yeah, go back to riding the pine. I think that's an awful look by him.
Yeah, but it's what they're going to do.
I think it's an awful idea if that's the case. And you're right. I mean, you're probably more right than wrong on this. They probably will go back to doing that. And I will once again have to tell them for the millionth time that they are just doing things in an ass backwards way.
216-474-0092. Does one good game lock in that Shador starts the rest of the season for the Cleveland Browns? I don't need to go back to Dylan Gabriel. I don't think he's a starting quarterback. And honestly, the fact that he started more than four games is already a real problem if you know he's already a backup. Because then if you're starting a backup as your starter, you're really not giving your team any chance. That being said, I think it's going to be a longer road for Kevin Stefanski. I think it's going to be at least two games of good Shador. And if Shador follows up a good game against the Raiders on Sunday with a bad game against the 49ers the next week, well, I think you're going to be going back to Dylan Gabriel. And now two games, I think maybe it's enough. Two good games, maybe. But I think Stefanski will pull this string out for as long as he can. And I think it goes back to the fear of the noise around Shador, the idea of we're afraid of him being the next Baker Mayfield.
I mean, at this point, I would sign up for that fear. You know what I mean? Yeah, I would sign up for that.
But I don't think one game or maybe even two games at best.
No, it takes more than that. And that's why, again, the same way you can't bury somebody after a game and a half, you can't crown him after a game and a half either. But I do feel like you've earned, after the end of that one game, if it looks as good as we're describing, then you've earned the right to see what this is for the rest of the season. Because the other players, you're just not getting anything out of at this point.
Does one good game lock Shador in as the starter for the rest of the season? What say you? And inevitability in Deshaun Watson. I don't think you're going to like this inevitability. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.